Well, good morning and welcome to Banbury Christian Fellowship Church. This is our live stream service. We're broadcasting from our building in Hill of Banbury and glad that you've been able to join us today. My name is Duncan. I have the privilege of serving as pastor of the church here. And this is a slightly different format for our Sunday offering today. We are having our family service, so to speak. And so I do hope that there are lots of boys and girls there watching at home. We're really glad that you've chosen to join with us today. And we hope that you will have lots of things that will be of interest to you here today. My job here really is to tell people about the message of the Bible. And the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. He is the most important person of all. And so you could say my job is to speak about Jesus. And so what I want us to do right at the start here today is to hear some words of Jesus, words that he spoke to his followers. His followers were very discouraged. They just found out that Jesus is going to be leaving them. And so Jesus has some promises that he wants to give to them. Listen to these words. They come from John's Gospel, chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. From the first page of the Bible to the 1251st page of the Bible, this book is all about Jesus. All the stories that we learn about, sometimes in junior church, sometimes in big church, we learn about the Garden of Eden, Noah building an ark, the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. They are all examples to us of how God keeps his promises to rescue his people. And they all point forward to Jesus, the rescuer, who tells us in those verses we read that he is the way, the truth, and the life, the only one who can bring us back to God. Well, hopefully you noticed that there was a guest vocalist in the midst there. Well done to Callum for helping us out on that one. And what we're going to do now is we're just going to take time to pray. And praying is really just speaking to God and asking him for his help. And that's what we want to do now. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you never forget your people. We thank you that the Bible shows us this again and again. When they were in deep trouble, when they could not rescue themselves, you stepped in again and again to save them. Thank you, Father, that you always keep your promises and that we can trust you when you speak. Thank you that you have given us your promises in the Bible. And Lord, when we see these things, we know that we are not like you. We sometimes let people down, and sometimes we don't do what we say we'll do. And lots of times we don't listen to your words, or we don't trust your words, which means sometimes we say bad things, we disobey our parents, or we're selfish. And we thank you that you love us, even though we've done all these things, and that you love us so much that you sent Jesus to save us. We know that we don't deserve your love, but that you have loved us. And we thank you that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again, so that all who believe in him can have their sins forgiven and be part of your family. So we ask you, Lord, to help us today There are some of us who feel sad today, some of us who are worried, and all of us need you. Lord, as we read your word today, we pray that you would help us to hear and to listen and to respond to what you're saying to us, so that we would know you better and so that we would become more like Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read a part of one of the Gospels. Now we're going to read a story in the life of Jesus. And as we listen to this, I want you to think about, what do we learn about Jesus when we read this about him? Okay? This is from Mark chapter 2, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." I love this part of Jesus' life. There's just so much to take in this story. There's lots of interesting details, interesting reactions, and something really powerful that Jesus does. In fact, I'm sure what they said at the end was right. Everyone who saw this had never seen anything quite like it before. These verses were written for us by a man named Mark. This is Mark's gospel. And do you know why he wrote this story about Jesus? Not so that we would spend all our time thinking about the strange people or the interesting reactions and all of that, but so that we would understand who Jesus is. Mark wants us to see that Jesus is God and that he is the rescuer God, the one promised that would be sent into the world. And that's what I want us to believe about Jesus as well. Like we read about earlier in those words that Jesus shared with his sad disciples, to see Jesus is to see God. That's the message here. I don't know if you can remember back to when it was summer. It feels like a long time ago. Imagine you're out on a hot day and your mom or your dad says, "You know what, let's go and get some ice cream." And that's the best idea. But often with the best ideas, everyone else has that idea at the same time. So off you go, but then you realize that everyone in Bankery has decided to go for an ice cream at the same time. The queue is down the street, round the corner, and with social distancing, that's a long walk to get to the end of the queue. And sometimes, especially dads, they will say, "Nah, the queue's too long. We'll try later when it's less busy." And often that means we just never come back. I mean, you really need to want the ice cream if you're going to queue for 30 minutes or even an hour. Most people give up. Now, in this story that we read, four guys, they're carrying a stretcher. And on the stretcher is their friend who's paralyzed. He can't walk. We don't know why he can't walk. Maybe he's had an accident. Maybe he had an illness. We don't know, but he can't move. Now, his friends have heard about Jesus, and they heard that the last time Jesus was in town, he healed lots and lots of people who had all sorts of kinds of diseases. And now they've heard that he's back. So when the guys carrying the stretcher, they're confident that Jesus can do something for their friend, and they arrive at the house, and what do they find? It is packed with people trying to get to Jesus. The queue is right down the street and round the corner. Now, surely most people would leave, wouldn't they? Maybe we'll come back later when things are a bit quieter. But not these guys. They've got an even better idea. The house that Jesus was in had stairs that went up the outside of the wall so you could get onto the roof. So they climbed up there, and Mark tells us they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and they lowered the mat that the man was lying on through the hole to bring him down to Jesus. They made a hole in the roof. They really did want to get their friend to Jesus, didn't they? And when they lower the man down to Jesus, the first thing that Jesus sees is not the mess on the floor from the roof that's been broken. He doesn't even see the hole in the roof. What is it? Mark tells us, when Jesus saw their faith. He saw their faith. This is what makes these men do this strange thing. It's their faith, their confidence in Jesus. They believe that Jesus is able to do what for their friend what he's done for so many other people. And they are going to stop at nothing to come to Jesus. That's what it means to have faith, to stop at nothing to come to Jesus. But did they make a good choice? Were they right to believe Jesus? Were they right to be so brave as to dig a hole in someone else's roof to get their friend to Jesus? Well, now it's Jesus' turn to do something unusual. They want him to heal their friend, and that's what the man on the stretcher wants as well, surely. But what is the first thing Jesus does? He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, maybe if you were one of the friends, you would say, "Well, yeah, but Jesus, what about his legs? What about his legs?" Well, this is such an important thing for Jesus to say, because there's only one person who could say those words. Let me show you what I mean. There are some things that when you see them, you know who the person is. Some things that someone might have, might wear, might say, and you know immediately who they are or what they do. I'm going to give you one example. Every time you see someone wear one of these, you know that they are a pirate, right? It helps if they say ahar in a Cornish accent, but you need more than just a Cornish accent to be a pirate. You need the patch as well. Well, here in Mark 2, it's not something Jesus wears, not something he uses, but something he says that reveals who he is. Some of the people looking on, they're very unhappy with Jesus. And we're told why they were unhappy. They're thinking to themselves, why is Jesus speaking like this? Why is he saying to this guy, your sins are forgiven? Because only God can forgive sins. Who does Jesus think he is? And they were right. You see, sin is anything that we say, anything that we do, anything that we think that makes us more important than God. And so sin, all of those times that we do those things, is something that we need God to forgive us for. And only God can forgive us. Because sin is always something that we do against him. And so Jesus says to the man who can't walk, your sins are forgiven. If only God can forgive sins, what does that tell us about Jesus? Jesus is claiming to be God. In fact, later on, he says, I want you to know that I have authority on earth to forgive sins. And to support that claim, he tells the man, get up, take your mat and go home. And the man who was paralyzed, he gets up and he walks out. And this is why Jesus did miracles like this, to confirm who he was. And here we learn that the paralyzed man and his friends thought that the thing he needed most was to be able to walk again. But Jesus tells him the thing he needed most was his sins forgiven. And that's the same for you and me. We have lots of things we might struggle with, and all of those are important. But most important of all is that we have our sins forgiven. And we can only have that by believing in Jesus Christ. Because only Jesus was able to die on the cross to take away our sins. So when you read or hear anything about Jesus, remember, seeing Jesus is the same as seeing God. Now, I've got one or two things that I want to say, especially to the grown-ups. So if you're under 12 and you're watching, you still have to listen, but I'm going to set you a challenge. In the next 6 minutes, how many different colors do I mention? I'll give you the answer at the end. I wonder, what did you make of Jesus' words in response to the teachers of the law, those who were scandalized by Jesus declaring forgiveness of sins? Look at verse 9. Jesus says to them, which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? Now, strictly speaking, it is easier to say your sins are forgiven, because who could ever verify whether what you said was true or not? But if you say, take up your mat and walk, well, then there better be something to show for it. But I want to pause over that question for a moment, because as the picture of Jesus unfolds throughout this gospel and each of the gospels, we find that it was actually no easy thing for Jesus to say, son, your sins are forgiven. You know, forgiveness is not like taking a cloth to a whiteboard and just wiping away the things that are there. Sin has to be dealt with. For Jesus to come through on this promise that he makes, this promise of forgiveness, would require him to be utterly humiliated, being betrayed, beaten, spat upon, whipped, stripped naked, nailed to a wooden cross, a crown of thorns thrust on his head, being cursed and abandoned by God, left to die alone in the thick black darkness that covered that scene. In the Old Testament, there is this promise from God that though your sins be like scarlet, God can make them as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. But when we come to the Gospels, we see how this can be the case. Jesus takes the stains of my sin, and he suffers what I deserve. And all the purity that is his, he gives to me instead. And if you believe in Jesus Christ today, then your sins are forgiven. But you see what belief is, don't you? It's believing that he really did endure that for you. That the sins that he can offer to this man, the sins that he can offer to forgive for this man, he can do for you. There are no gray areas with this. Either you have seen Jesus and seen God and had placed faith in him and found forgiveness, or you haven't. Believe in Jesus Christ. And if you believe, let this presentation of the promise of forgiveness, let it swell your heart in worship and thanksgiving to him. One last thing. I believe that Mark wants us to see the readiness of Jesus to forgive. This man is lowered through the roof of the house, almost as if he falls out of the clear blue sky, and he lands at Jesus' feet, and Jesus sees his faith. You might have noticed in verse 5 that Jesus noticed their faith. And I think it makes sense that Jesus saw the faith of these five chaps. The four men, they took their needy friend to Jesus because they believed that only Jesus could help them. I don't know how big a view they had of Jesus, but I know they believed he could do what others had told them he could do. I suppose if you believe that Jesus can solve your friend's greatest problem, it's only natural, isn't it, to bring that friend to Jesus, to point him in that direction. Now, we're living in times when people have lost hope. Hoping in material things has been shown up for the empty hope that it is. And there's a real opportunity at the door of everyone to reassess the big questions of life. And as Christians, what's our response to that? Where are we pointing people? People are suffering in all sorts of ways, and we shouldn't be unconcerned about any aspect of people's suffering. We want to help people who are in financial trouble. We want to help families where relationships are falling apart. We want to help people whose health is deteriorating. All of that matters. But there is something even bigger than even those struggles. John Piper, the American pastor, puts it something like this. He says, Christians are concerned with alleviating all suffering, but especially eternal suffering. And that's what we're talking about here. Whether we know Jesus or not is the difference between being right with God or not. It is the difference between standing on the day of God's judgment or not. It is the difference between eternal joy and eternal bitterness. And because Jesus saved someone like me, I can be sure he's willing to do it for my friend as well. That promise gives us the green light to bring people to Jesus, to point people to Jesus in faith. So who am I praying for that they might find this eternal hope in Jesus? Who am I ready to be open with about my faith and the hope that I have in Jesus? Who am I going to offer to read through one of the Gospels with and show them for themselves the hope that there is in Jesus? More than ever, our communities need Christians to be doing all of these things. Simply bringing people to Jesus, confident that he is ready to forgive all who come to him in faith. Well, thank you very much for listening. 8 colours. Well, thank you so much for joining with us today. We hope you've been blessed and encouraged to hear God's word. And as I say every week, if you have any questions at all about anything that you've seen or heard here today, or if you want to know any more information about the church, please do get in touch with us and go to our website, and you'll find ways to do that there. I just want to close with some words of benediction, which are taken from Romans chapter 15. This will be our closing prayer. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.